Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Broadcasting from the Shaw's Star Market Studios, the home of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, afternoons 2 to 6. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
It's OMF on EEI.
Did you hear that?
No.
Odyssey station.
Christian, wait, what?
You are now part of the Odyssey family. Welcome.
Oh, like a Honda Odyssey?
No.
Spelled the same
differently.
Way? How's it spelled?
A-U-D-A-C-Y. A play on audio, I think.
Okay.
And
that is funny Odyssey. Because I was listening and I saw that, like, everything had changed. And I forgot about that this has changed. So you listen to anything that's on radio.com, right? And in the, it used to be radio.com. Now it's Odyssey?
Yes. Odyssey. So what you want to do
spell
is
spell it again.
A-U-D.
A-U-D.
A-C-Y.
An Odyssey station.
So go look it up right now. Go look it up. Download the app because it'll switch from the radio.com app to the new Odyssey.
I thought you
app.
Said Audacity.
No. Odyssey.
Yeah. Odyssey.
That looks A-U-D-A-C-Y. A little bit like that.
Yeah. Very I think when you're still on the radio.com app, it still says welcome to Odyssey.
Yeah, well,
we were talking before
it.
To get like that, the Odyssey logo. I guess if you quickly like delete your radio.com app and then you go to search for it again, but you got to plug in radio.com.
So it's
right?
Correct, yes.
But then it pops up. But it pops up as Odyssey. And then you go to it, and you go to sports, and you can find WEI, and then
correct.
Now we're gone.
So correct. Is Odyssey like an acronym for something?
Well, I think you're playing on audio.
Is it like
Odyssey?
Audio. Odyssey. What
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying. Yes. I'm looking
it's
into
take,
it.
It's going to take him a while, I think.
But it's a
rebranding of our company, Entercom and Radio.com.
Yes. But Radio.com still works currently.
It yes, currently okay, works. Okay. Yes,
but it comes up as Odyssey.
But you can upgrade it maybe or update it, and it'll be nice.
And so, what's happening is our company is buying out a lot of these different podcast companies and other different audio content. And so, they are developing this gigantic audio home for music, for news, and yes, for sports and podcast. And you can stay connected with all your favorite stations and discover more. Again,
we have different emails?
Odyssey.
Do we have different emails now, then?
Oh, that's right. Do we have to do that?
Is it Odyssey?
Is it automatically do that, or do I have to go? Because I'm not good at this stuff.
No, I believe it'll be automatic. It might reroute the old one, but okay. We'll find out.
Well, for the record, I haven't checked my work email in about 5 years, so.
So that's good. You got that going for you.
We're due to change your password.
Really? Like you know they pay you now. They pay you and they do it. Like,
I have no idea. I always miss out on every like important issue
yeah, I just
that happens
I
here.
Just tell Christian we're in here. Hey, get that email about
vacation hours. He never plugged them in. 600.
Yeah, it was like, hey, you know, health insurance and all that stuff. Today's the last day. How'd you know that?
Yeah.
Who told you?
You know you got to fill out your health insurance. You know we just hired a new guy, right?
It's like we did.
Take over for Hannon? Yeah, we did.
Wait. We
got to Zoom to meet him. When?
Like, now. Oh.
So it's actually a good thing, Lou, that we actually told him that he is
I'll
now working
now.
For Odyssey. Now it's a new company. Odyssey.
Yeah, because I'm still.
How do you spell it, Christian?
Intercom.
How do you spell it? Don't look. Spell it.
A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Pretty good.
Is that
pretty
right?
Good. Yeah, pretty good. It's close enough.
That is
close
it.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what the acronym really is.
So part of the Odyssey Radio Network here will be the Boston Red Sox, and they will be featured on this very radio station come 48 hours from now. Lou will be on the first broadcast. He'll be on many of them during the course of the season. And it's kind of interesting.
Especially the
looking,
first few weeks.
over the first few weeks, loading up, huh?
Load them up.
Well, it's always great to have you here, Lou.
Sure, sure it is. It means Christian and I will have some free time, apparently.
Yeah, he will.
Be watching from home, baby.
Watching it from home. So it's kind of interesting watching the world look at this Red Sox team. And I don't think there's a lot of love right now out there for this team. I'm looking at the different predictions. Keith Law, for an example, the Saber Metrics dude, has the Red Sox going 80-82, finishing fourth in the AL East. I think they're going to be the fourth place team as well. Yeah. And they're going to be somewhere, I think, around 500. And people say, well, that's all you think they're going to be is 500? Well, if you look at their win-loss record last year, they were 12 games under 500 in a 60-game season. So by picking them to go about 500, it's going to be an improvement of like 20 wins. So that's a lot. I mean, I don't think I'm being negative when it comes to the Red Sox. I think that's what they are. Here's the one that gets me. The Boston Globe, I don't know if you know this, they're owned by John Henry. I don't think I've ever seen this before. Every one of the people that made predictions in their preview that came out 2 days ago, not a single one had the Red Sox in the playoffs.
My name is Peter Abraham. I'm a Red Sox reporter for the Boston Globe.
Including him, including Chad Finn. Chad Finn did not have the Red Sox making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow. Neither did Shaughnessy.
So,
none of them did.
None of Shaughnessy didn't expect
Shaughnessy
him.
Didn't have him sixth.
Right, exactly. Right. So am I being negative by looking at it and saying, I think there are 500 team here, guys. I don't see how they finish better than that.
Yeah, I'm going to put them at 87.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, because I think people don't know that, honest to God, like, just really have no idea who's even in the rotation.
I think
they
that's
just
true.
Haven't followed them. They have absolutely no clue, you know, and you look at it, and that team last year was not a Major League Baseball team. It was offensively, but pitching-wise, from the rotation to the bullpen, they probably had four guys that belonged in the big leagues, maybe five. Of all the pitchers they used all year long last year, and Erod, dead arm, he's going to be fine. Evaldi, give me 20, 22 starts. Garrett Richards threw ball well down at the end of camp. You know, I look at the Yankees, and I see Corey Kluber right now is listed as their number two. I know Taillon's probably their number two guy, but what the hell's the difference between Kluber and Richards? I mean, neither one of them done anything in 2 years, 3 years. They're both wild cards. You have no clue. High risk, high reward.
Richards hasn't done anything in 5 years.
True. I actually think Richards might have better stuff. Just that Kluber was pinpoint control. That's what made him dominant. Does he still have that same control?
And Richards doesn't have that control,
right,
that
so
we
I
know
just,
of.
Right. I think people overrated all these other teams. I don't like the Jays rotation at all. I think the Yankees have question marks in their rotation. The Rays are the Rays. I think they're going to be good.
Well, I actually think Rays got a chance to win a division. They lost key people, though.
Sure they did. They got another five-man rotation down in AAA.
But that's their thing. That's the thing.
Like,
they're the best organization in baseball.
Get ready for it.
See, you go over this and you sit there and go, okay, what's the best case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? Where are they strong? Where are they weak? I would say, ultimately, okay, they're going to get on base and they're going to score runs. You think Devers is going to have a bounce-back year. J.D. Martinez is going to have a bounce-back year. You know, then you have a good lineup. But I look at this and I'm sitting there going, okay, everything in baseball comes down to your rotation.
Yeah.
Everything. Just like we've been spending all this time talking about football, and the most important thing is a
quarterback.
And everybody tries to get one. And if you don't have one, you can't do anything. And you could be the Tampa Bay Bucks and have all the talent in the world. You have a quarterback that throws for over 5,000 yards, but he also throws 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. So who are you? How good are you really? So I look at this. I'm like, all right, if we're really going to have an observation, have a debate about this team, let's start with this. If I was to tell you that the Red Sox rotation is equivalent to what starting quarterback in the NFL? The entire rotation, all of them combined, because they all have to, they're a team now, and it's not individual type of deal. The success is going to be predicated upon all five of those guys. And forget about the bullpen. Just your starting rotation, your five guys, that would be the equivalent of who?
Yeah, I would tell you this. They're not Mahomes, and yet they're not Cam Newton.
Oh, my God, they're not even close to
being
Mahomes.
They're not Cam Newton. They're somewhere, I think, probably, if I were to rate them, pick a quarterback.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Pick a quarterback that is 17-23.
Okay, I gave you Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
I would even say.
I wanted Mitchell.
Would I be so bold as to say? See, I would say using Derek Carr as a comp for the Red Sox bullpen, I mean, sorry, rotation is a little bit too strong. I think Derek Carr is too good.
I think Derek Carr is too reliable. Too reliable. Like, I almost look at their rotation, and I feel like they have, like, Ryan Tannehill as E-Rod, who's, like, shown that he can win, and he's a good, very good pitcher in this league, and we'll see what he can become. You've got Jimmy Garoppolo as Nate Eovaldi.
Okay, he's always hurt.
That's what I'm going to go with. Yeah, he's hurt. I would say Carson Wentz is Garrett Richards.
Yes.
A guy that was MVP, that was that kind of caliber player, then all of a sudden just got hurt and fell off the face.
Yep.
Martin Perez.
Eh.
Tyrod Taylor.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He can be okay.
Okay, but, you know, quality. I don't know. Yeah.
He can give you innings.
Nick Pivetta. I have trouble with this one here because you got to tell me a quarterback that was once highly regarded and that people absolutely love his athleticism, arm strength, but is yet to put it together and a change of scenery is needed. That's what Nick Pivetta is. Because, go ahead.
I got one. Josh Rosen.
No, Rosen sucks.
Oh, no, he's been terrible forever.
Top 10
pick. but Josh Rosen was highly rated.
No, how about Trubisky?
It has to be a young guy with some something left.
But here's the problem with Pivetta, Lou. He's 28 years now. He's 28 years old, right? So he's been around, and I know he was high in the Phillies organization, but he's done nothing. He's got an earned run average somewhere close to 6, doesn't he? 5.5, something like that.
Yeah.
And he's now 28.
So if you're telling me, Glenn, that if we're using Mitchell Trubisky, if we're using Teddy Bridgewater, you are a .500 baseball team. You're a .500 baseball team.
I said they're 500.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Okay, let me ask
basically,
you.
Because that to me is so because you're nowhere near.
All right, what if you have a top five defense football player? Because they have a top five offense.
They don't have a top five defense.
But here's the thing.
I'm just saying, you're the quarterback. You say, give me an average quarterback.
You're
but
Tampa,
if I give you a top five defense,
they're going to win 10 to 8.
You're
going to
win games.
They're going to win 10 to 8.
Like, their offense is still going to be top five.
Yes.
I mean, in the American League, it's a given, I think. I mean, top three, top five. So if you give me, you know, the rotation, I think the rotation has got a lot more potential than people think.
Well,
and this bullpen, same thing.
So I feel better about the bullpen.
Average quarterback player, the top five defense, what are you?
I feel better about the bullpen than I do about the starters. And it might be Ottavino probably gets me a little bit excited. I know nothing about the Japanese kid. You probably do. Hernandez coming back. He had COVID last year. He was pretty good the year before. So they've got some arms and they've got depth in the bullpen. So I like the bullpen better than obviously what I saw last year. The starting rotation still scares the hell out of me.
Well, the other thing with the rotation, okay? So then you've got Tanner Houck.
Unknown, right.
Well, okay, 3-0 with a .53 last year and shoved it up the Yankees you-know-what last year. So, okay, then you've got Connor Siebold, who, again, people have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
Lights out. I mean, threw his ass off here in camp. Velocity went from 90-92 to 96-97. You know, then you got Andres threw the ball real well.
He's
Garrett Whitlock, the kid, the Rule 5 that the Yankees gave up because of Tommy John, is a starter in this bullpen. So I just gave you like four more additional starters to go with this rotation, and that's where I think it comes into play.
Wouldn't that be something if Whitlock and Ottavino have terrific years and the Yankees like helped out the Red Sox? Wouldn't that be something?
So, but if that's the case, I mean, if you're going to sit there and use the rotation as the base, the catalyst for all your success, then why should the New York Yankees be the favorite to win the East? Because they have, you just mentioned two guys. Okay, so they have Gerrit Cole, who's their ace, and then you have a 2 and a 3 in Taillon, and then Kluber, who's new. Neither one of those guys, both those guys have been injured. So they're basing all their success on health and their rotation.
That's the thing.
There's two of them. You tell me that lineup is going to stay healthy?
Their lineup is a monster.
It's good.
But it's just as, you know, it's a monster. It's good. It's very good. But you don't have a Gerrit Cole. You know, Kluber is, to me, it's like Richards. Like, you have no clue. Taillon's probably the key. He's probably the key to that rotation. He should be their number two. We've seen what guys look like sometimes, you know. I don't know. I thought James Paxton was great till he got to New York. I thought Jay Happ was great till he got to New York. You know, does Taillon go to New York and crap himself? He was okay in Pittsburgh. He wasn't front line, that's for sure. Montgomery? What's the difference between Montgomery and Martin Perez?
Okay,
Perez might be better than Montgomery. So you're going through this rotation. Domingo Germán, this kid could throw the ball well. We'll see. Their rotation's not a lock. The Blue Jays, I want to throw up my mouth looking at their pitching staff, and they lost their closer.
Yeah.
For Field Yates, the guy that they got their closer, he's gone. Oh, not Yates. That's the football guy.
Yes, it is.
But, I mean, their rotations, I mean, they got Ryu who threw the ball real well. Robbie Ray's got like a 6.5 the last 2 years in the National League. Like,
listen, I think
their
right.
rotation's a mess.
So every right. rotation has you know, issues.
Questions. They have question
Kirby
marks.
Yates. Kirby but, Yates. My bad. But, not Field.
But I would say this. the Red Sox starting rotation has a lot of question marks. I mean,
they
E-Rod
all do,
might,
Glenn, is the point.
E-Rod
honest
might
to
be,
God.
Yeah, E-Rod might be. The best thing you've got going right now, and you got to hope that he reverts to what you had 2 years ago when he was healthy. If they had Chris Sale right now healthy and he was ready to go, I'd feel a lot better about it because you'd have an ace, and then E-Rod would be a number two, and then the Eovaldi and the fact that he can't pitch 150 innings for you, and you know he's going to get hurt. Suddenly there's a question mark there. Perez is, mwah, he's, what is he? I don't know what he is. And you said it already a few weeks ago. You think the biggest the guy that's got to come through for them is Garrett Richards, and I would agree.
Yeah.
If he can revert back to where he was in 2015, then you got a shot. It's 2021.
Right. I mean, the Yankees, number two, they're saying the same thing about Kluber, aren't they? Kluber hasn't done anything in 2 years.
But he's had more success more recently than
– 3 years, 5 years.
Than
Richards. I mean, I agree. One guy, Tommy John. So, I mean, we'll see what he looks like. But the point is that there's literally question marks – like in every rotation, unless you're talking about the Dodgers, who has two in their big league staff,
yeah, the Dodgers,
or the Padres, who are loaded. But I see the Yankees like the third best rotation in baseball, and I'm like, hello? I mean, Severino, Sale. That's why we don't include either one of these guys. They're both done this year.
Could you imagine you might have two teams that could win over 100 games in one division, in the Dodgers and the Padres? I mean, that's possible, Lou.
No, I think it will happen.
Yeah, you could have the Dodgers win 100, 608, and maybe the Padres win 104.
So I think the Sox actually slide to 3 in this division. I think Toronto's going to be the most disappointing team. Now, listen, they're going to have probably one of the better lineups.
They're going to kill
one of their better lineups. There's no question about it.
George Springer and Marcus.
Oh, they're loaded.
And they're going to beat up 3, 4, and 5 in starting rotations. They're going to destroy them.
There's a lot of good lineups.
Yeah.
But their pitch is not good enough. It ain't good enough.
All right. So what are the things you're most worried about with the Red Sox, and what are the things that you are positive, you are so sure that are absolutely going to come through? We'll throw it out to you at 617-779-7937. This hour of OMF being brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ordway, Merloni, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on the OMF. I think the Red Sox are going to be somewhere around 500. I'll take 81 and 81. Christian kind of agrees, and Lou thinks they're going to be a little bit better than that. 87 games. Here's what I think is imperative for the Red Sox. They have a golden opportunity here. I'm not sure the Celtics are going to do much in the playoffs, and I'm not sure there's going to be that great enthusiasm. And I'm sensing there's some questions surrounding the Bruins and their viability in the postseason. So what does that mean? It means that the Red Sox are going to get some attention here starting on Thursday, but they have got to get off to a good start. If they do, they're going to get attention. If they don't, it's going to be an issue. And I'm telling you, looking at the schedule, they're going to play 10 games against the Baltimore Orioles, maybe the worst team in the American League, certainly the worst team in their division. They're going to play 10 games against the Orioles in the first 5 weeks. They have to win like 7 or 8 of those games. That gives you a pretty good record after 5 weeks, and you're viable, right?
I always feel like, now, this is, you know, if you're a very good team, so if you're, I guess, you consider the Yankees, you know, a very good team, I guess the people think the White Sox would be very good. The last thing you want to do is play crappy teams in April. You don't want to do it. Because the crappy teams in April think they can beat anybody. It's not until like July or August until they have like a couple of, you know, injuries and they realize they suck. So you would, to me, I always felt like good teams would rather come out in April and catch a good team. There'll always be a good team that starts off 3-10. And you're like, what the hell's wrong with these guys? Right?
And they get it together.
Sox in April in 2019. What the hell's wrong with these guys? Yeah. Now, they never got it together. But you know, in August, they're going to be loaded. They're a great baseball team. So with this, but the difference is that the Red Sox aren't like this super great team, right, in April. But so playing the Orioles, you're absolutely right. I mean, you got to take care of the Orioles. The AL East will be one of the better divisions, in my opinion. You know, because, you know, every division, they have like one or two teams that are good.
That's it.
But you got some games early on in the year with Baltimore. You're going to mix in a Detroit. You're going to mix in a Seattle. You know, you have an opportunity to get out of the gate, as you pointed out. Maybe the winter teams don't go deep in the playoffs, and you get a little more attention.
Yeah, that 2019, you keep looking at that. Okay, so that was Cora's first year after winning the World Series as a manager, not as a bench coach. You remember every single game was out on the West Coast. You had, what, how many games against Seattle? Four games against Seattle, four against Oakland, and you played Arizona. And then you were 2-10. You won two games out of those 10. By the time they got back, I actually almost feel like they were like, okay, this ain't going to happen. This is not our year. It's almost like a subconscious hangover from the previous year and the message that Core was creating.
Well, again, to the point, Seattle, they weren't good. You opened up with them. They beat you 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
They thought they were good. Out of camp, everybody thinks they're good, right? Maybe it's the healthiest you're going to be all year. And you lack depth. You're not a good baseball team. You lack depth. But early in the year, you don't lack depth.
Yeah, but see, I also think like you can listen to maybe Cora has just changed overall his mindset, basically on being suspended and losing in 2019 and watching from afar. And,
turn the page.
Yeah, maybe he's kind of learned from some of his mistakes from earlier being a younger manager. But to me, this guy does not sound like a guy that knows he's got a championship, a World Series team. Like I think we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
I think respectable should be the ceiling. Like let's be respectable. Let's build on something for next year. Let's reintroduce our core values and our philosophy on playing defense, running the bases, just the basics of baseball. Let's get good at that.
Defense may be a challenge, I think. Certainly in that outfield, it might be a challenge for the Red Sox. But I think, do we not realize that they are rebuilding? I mean,
They're rebuilding.
You got to throw the R word out there. They are rebuilding, and you can see the way that they're structured. They're trying to build a minor league system, a depleted minor league system. That's why they brought Chaim Bloom here. Okay, he's done these short term veteran deals with 2 year contracts, most of them, not an awful lot of money. It gives them flexibility if they get to the trading deadline at the end of July and they're not doing much. They can deal those off, get those young players, and put more in the minor league system. And then we'll start seeing that Dalbec could be a major force this year. Lou mentioned Tanner Houck earlier and, Duran and Downs, and we can go through the young players. That's the future. Right now, this year, they're rebuilding.
Yeah, no, they are. And that's why a lot of them are 1-2 year deals, or 2 year deals, I should say. Options. So, if a guy like Richard shines, you got him locked in for $10 million, or some of these other guys. So you have them kind of for next year. And, you got a much more talented group than you had last year. Last year you signed all these guys and you hope one or two of them kind of popped and you could use them moving forward. But really, none of them did. None of them are any good. The only two holdovers are like Valdez, who probably shouldn't have made the team. Because of option situation, or they didn't want to call McCarthy up, who deserved it. Bryce is another one. Other than that, nobody stuck. But I'll say this: you talk about like concerns. It's outfield defense.
Yeah,
that's the biggest concern. You play in a launch angle time of this. Everyone's trying to hit the ball in the air, and your weakest spot's probably the outfield. The most common used phrase for the next 6 months will be, "Jackie would have had it."
I think you're right.
Get ready for it. I've already watched a couple spring training games. I mean, you're talking first and third, two outs. Ball hit the center. Guy just misses it. Down 2-0. Jackie would have had it. I'm telling you, people.
Run saved.
I hear people say, his defense is overrated. It's underrated. Okay? It's underrated. That's how good that guy was in center field. And Fenway Park took a lot from what you could have seen because of left center. And the metrics, everything else, that hurt him because of left center. The green monster hurt him as far as the way they measure things. He's underrated defensively, and you will find that out shortly.
It's a right field with Renfro out there, because there's a lot of territory out in right field at Fenway Park. Right field is a killer in the outfield. It could be, I think, as difficult as center field. And so you tell me, what is he going to be like? If you put Renfro out there, you put Renfro in right field, what's he going to be like?
Well, again, I don't really know much of him as far as a defensive guy. I mean, I guess he was dealing with an ankle injury in Tampa last year, but he's an athlete for a big dude. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him at center field some at Fenway Park and Verdugo in right. I think ideally, Jared Duran's a center fielder by July and Verdugo's in right and you're good. But, you know, Duran, last time he played, he had a good off alternate site year, whatever it was. The last time he played, he had 250 in AA 2 years ago. He was an okay AA player. So they love him. He's doing good, but he needs a little time in AAA. Ideally, he's your center fielder. Kike can play center. I think Verdugo will play a little bit of right. You know, on the road, well, Yankee Stadium,
he's going to play second base, though,
right?
Isn't he going to play second base?
He's your second baseman, yeah.
Yeah.
But he'll play in center field once in a while. Marwin can play second. Arroyo can play second.
So Franchi Cordero plays left. Is that what they do with
him? Yep. Left field.
See, I think they're going to be some interesting guys. I thought Verdugo was an interesting guy to watch last year. Franchi Cordero, because of his size and everything else, he's going to be interesting. I mentioned Dalbec, who, you know, obviously is probably going to have a zillion home runs and a zillion strikeouts. But at least he's going to be worth the price of admission, right? I mean, he's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, we should. I think we're talking to him tomorrow. Time, we got to work it out. No, Verdugo. Okay. So the time we got to work out, but he's going to probably be joining us tomorrow on the show.
And by the way, Red Sox spring training just came to a close. They lost to the Braves 5-3.
Oh, what's that make their Grapefruit League record? Because I write these down every year.
16, so I think they had most wins or second most wins, which means absolutely nothing.
Did they win that Mayor's Cup against the Twins? They still do that in the Mayor's Cup?
They did. But when you play 7 innings, it's kind of tough to call them wins and losses.
It is. So I think they're going to be interesting, but out of the gate, they've got to have a really good first month and a half. They really do. And again, I think they have an opportunity to get a little bit of attention here.
I just say month and a half. I just say the first few weeks. First few weeks, you know, you got to get out of the gate. You got to get out of the gate playing good baseball, getting some W's.
I always think it's tough to judge teams when you do that when they come north. So what do you think about the Toronto Blue Jays? Now, they're going to play a bunch of games still in Florida, right? So this is almost like the Raptors. I heard they're playing in Florida some of the games.
Yeah, yeah, I like them. I mean, their lineup is loaded.
No. Is that a good thing that they're still going to play in Florida? Because I heard that they're still going to play some of their major league games in the regular season in Florida.
I think most of these guys would love to open up in Florida in April and May.
So it's different than the Raptors. The Raptors hated it. These guys will probably like it.
See the way the ball flies in Florida?
Yeah.
I know they got the dome and everything up there in Toronto, but it's like, you know, it takes off down there. So, I mean, the Red Sox would like to play down there. But, you know, I don't know how long that's going to be. I don't know how long is it going to be a distraction. We'll see.
Marlo Rivera says the earliest possible date for a move back to Toronto or Buffalo would be June 1st.
Wow.
See, I'm wondering.
After a while, it's going to get old.
You talked about that with the Raptors, and with the Raptors, it was really bad, okay? But with a baseball team and a team that's already been down there, are they still in Dunedin? Is that where they work out? I can't remember. Yeah. So they're already down there. To me, that might be an advantage for them early on in the season, where a lot of these guys are going to come up here with the cold weather, the thick air, and it's going to be difficult. For them, it's pretty much what they've been doing now for the last 8 weeks. It may be an advantage out of the gate for Toronto. We mentioned that football has already made a change. They have added a 17th game. There are a bunch of other things going on, including pictures and video where apparently Bill Belichick is spending some quality time with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Ooh, what's that all about? We got that coming up next right here on OMF.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
I don't want to be inside your mind with your kinky fantasies. Like, I know it involves like a ham sandwich or something like that.
What is wrong with that?
Now back to OMF.
All right, back here in OMF, there's a lot of stuff going in the National Football League today. We got pro days going on, one down there in Alabama. Oh, my God, there's Bill Belichick. Josh McDaniels, they showed up down there. Wow.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's like, so Justin Fields, quarterback of Ohio State, and Mac Jones, quarterback of Alabama, they were both having their pro days at the same time. And it was so funny. It's like, so Justin Fields, obvious athlete, rolling to his left, throwing, you know, across his body, like, you know, 50 yards down the field. And You know, then, oh, yeah, Mac Jones overthrows a quarter, overthrows a wide receiver. It's like suddenly Mac Jones, they're highlighting his bad plays. And I will say this, like a couple throws that Justin Fields, he was making down the field. I mean, people are just glowing and just go, oh, my God.
Are you glowing?
And he
are
was,
you getting
no,
excited?
He's underthrowing. He was underthrowing the receiver. Like, it's so funny. Day. It's like, all right, so the guy looks like a stud, man. He's young. He's strong. He's fast. And he said to go, wow, he can throw. He can just flick that ball and it goes 60 yards. And then you sit there and go, well, if that's a real offense going against a real defense, he underthrows a 60-yard bomb. That's a pick. It's going the other way.
I would say the only thing that comes out of any of this is Justin
Nothing.
Fields had a 444 40 today, right?
Yeah, so, well, he's good. Fast now.
Yeah.
Which isn't a surprise.
That's RG3 time, right?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I wasn't happy that Bill was at Alabama.
Why?
Because I want him at Ohio State.
Why?
Because I want him watching Justin Fields.
Not taking a quarterback.
Mac Jones is sitting there. He's probably, I mean, Shanahan's like, what are you guys doing here? You're not looking at Mac. So, I mean,
he's going to be around
for
you.
He's just hanging out with his buddy. He was at Miami yesterday. And everyone's like, who? What's he looking at? It was the kid Rossow, the defensive end. You know, the guy that missed the whole year. They showed his workout. So, was he looking at the wide receivers here? Because Mac Jones is a waste. Why not go look at Justin Fields?
Put it this way. If a pro day changes their mind, you should be fired.
What does it tell you, though, that... that the entire staff of the San Francisco 49ers showed up at the Alabama.
So didn't the entire staff basically of the Patriots? Josh is there with Bill.
Right, but the 49ers didn't show up for Justin Fields pro day today. So isn't it pretty obvious that it's going to be Lawrence, Wilson number two, and Jones number three? Isn't it pretty obvious right
whether
now?
Whether the Jets trade out of it, exactly. Lose their minds or not. But
whether
that's
Wilson goes to some other team and the Jets get a boatload, or whether the Jets end up with Wilson themselves. I think the top three are already set. I don't think there are any more smoke screens out there. Yeah. I don't think there's...
That's why I don't want them in Alabama.
Yeah. I think that's it right now, and I think that's where the 49ers are going. So the pictures
are
out
there. Did anyone
go
to North Dakota? Anybody
it's still
go
too cold.
To North
it's
Dakota?
March. It's freezing up there.
Let me see. I could go to Miami, hop on my boat, go to Jupiter. Then I'll just gotta, you know, take a quick flight to Alabama.
So you expected the pictures here with Bill and Nick Saban. I'm sure they've got dinner reservations tonight at 8.
Go to Nick's house.
But a lot of shots here with Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and Josh McDaniels. So people are having a field day with pictures and video of all of this. Like they're actually working out some deal right now. By the way, I heard Gresh today say that he believes that it's going to take like the number 15 pick in the draft.
Well, hold on.
For the Patriots to get Jimmy Garoppolo from the 49ers.
What time was that at?
10:49, Gresh and Keith.
10:49, okay, good.
I don't know what time that was, but it was at the end of the show. Sometime at 1, I think it was 1:17.
Wait. He thinks that they should do that?
No, I'm not sure he said that they necessarily should do it. I think he said it's going to take that to do it. I would say this. If Bill Belichick gives up the number 15th pick.
Save it.
In the first round, okay? Then I double down on Tommy Curran. Take the offensive responsibilities away from him. You can't give up the 15th pick for Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, you can never do
not
that.
Not when you know you can either get him for free or like a fourth round pick.
Exactly. And I still think that's going to happen in the end of all of this. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously, we saw it. He's not real happy with what happened. But there's a lot of people playing games with us. So you guys know we're going to a 17-game season this year.
Yes.
And as we had mentioned yesterday, it won't happen in this first year because apparently Valentine's Day falls on that Monday and not President's Day.
Wait, what?
In February, starting in 2 years from now, they're going to move the Super Bowl, apparently, to President's Day weekend.
Well, hold on.
You're
going to
get the holiday weekend.
Wait a second. Oh, you're confusing me for a second. So we are doing, I'm not part of the NFL anymore. The NFL is this year, 2021, going to 17 games.
There you go.
They are going to 17 games. So
but like you predicted, they are in 2 years from now, they're going to go have the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend.
Correct.
So you'll be able to get completely polluted on Sunday and not have to go to work the next day.
Exactly.
I like that. But because of freaking Valentine's Day?
Yeah, Valentine's Day, I think, falls on it this week. My buddy Greg Murphy pointed this out to me. I didn't realize that he apparently follows Valentine's Day. I don't really follow it that much. So anyway, we've got 17 games now, and there are really some really terrific matchups here, guys. And so they had a formula in which they did all of this, but it's almost like they handpicked some of these, didn't they? And for the Patriots, they will play a home game against the Dallas Cowboys. That's pretty good. Nice addition.
Listen, there are some really nice matchups for this. Okay, so that's a good one. But I'd say the best of the bunch would probably be Patrick Mahomes versus Jordan Love. Kansas City versus Green Bay. Oh, wait, sorry. Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, that's the marquee matchup. Now, when I first saw this, I actually thought, oh, wow, they're going to have this basically like a Super Bowl prequel with AFC versus NFC. But the 17th game that we're all seeing, these matchups, are not necessarily the 17th game of the season.
Could all be
the
10.
Yeah, they're holding the division games till the end. Yeah.
No, listen, it's nice, right? Cowboys, Pats. I mean, obviously, that's a moneymaker for the league.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at it, and, you know, you look at your schedule, like, you know, before yesterday, you know, before these possible matchups came out, you look at the schedule of your team, and you're like, oh, okay, we got this game, that team's tough. All of a sudden, you're Green Bay and you're Kansas City. And you're like, yeah, the extra game that we added for you is, if you're the Packer fans, is Kansas City, at Kansas City. And they're like, really? Oh, gee, thanks. I know it's a moneymaker, but gee, thanks. Thanks for putting that one on the schedule.
Yeah, where's it'll be fun to watch.
But I'm saying the Buccaneers got a tough one. The Buccaneers play in Indianapolis.
Yeah, the Colts.
Yeah. In Indianapolis.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
Like, you know, you're playing the Cowboys. But we don't know what they're going to be, whatever. Even with Dak, they were awful. Bills play the Washington football team. I don't know what you think they're going to be any good. I have no idea.
You can already, it's funny. Just
Dolphins
just
play the Giants. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be any good.
Well,
right?
Saints at Tennessee.
Well, you can even see the matchups. Like, you know, so Arizona plays Cleveland. Baker Mayfield versus Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Jimmy Garoppolo, San Francisco.
Mac Jones.
Joe Burrow. Versus Joe Burrow. And the little, almost like an inner, you know, like LSU versus Alabama all over again.
Seattle at Pittsburgh, right?
If they were smart, Pittsburgh. Though, and I don't know what their schedules look like, that really should have been Detroit versus the Rams.
Goff and Stafford kind of like battling against their former teams.
Yeah.
No, I mean, don't you think though, when they're setting up these, they're trying to get like the best storyline matchups. It's less about, okay, let's just make sure we can fit this into the calendar. What are the storylines for the NFL? It's all about marketing.
I thought they did it by a formula, though, didn't they? Didn't they do it?
You think?
I think they did.
I think they did. Yeah,
they used a formula. It had to be in the other conference, but it went by the division.
And where they
you don't think there's some variable that says games that people will want to watch, storylines that are interested in?
It'd be cheating. The
NFL would never, they would never, never lie to us.
Like the AFC East is playing the NFC East in order of finish. That's why Washington won the division. They're playing Buffalo, right? Dallas came in, what, third? So you're playing them.
Yeah, that's
I like to think of it as storylines.
So now they also announced that they're doing...
I like to see someone sat there with the cigar. Story we need to put Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes against each other.
So they also announced today that all 32 teams are now going to be playing internationally at least once in an eight-year period beginning in 2022. And this is all part of their new TV package. They're putting these international games on. That is a separate package that they're making more money
once
on.
In an eight-year period?
Yes.
Meanwhile, the Jags will play eight in an eight-year period.
Right. The Jags have been like the world's favorite team.
Yeah.
They love them in London. Love the Jags.
So they're going to play. So the target markets. So Berlin is new. Mexico is still, and they're going to try and play in Spain.
Okay.
Now, as a fan, it would be great, but as a fan,
I want to go to
Spain.
Right.
But we were talking about like this. Just shows
the Mexican one has been a disaster.
No, but it shows to me that because they do not care, they're willing to burn down a ratings bonanza with one of these games in order to grow the league, because they're going to put this game on. At 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, but they just got all that money from Amazon, right?
But that's why you won't see Green Bay, Kansas City, in London, right? You won't be at 9:00. That's why Jacksonville's been playing at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, but Jacksonville also wanted that market.
No, I'm just saying. I think it'll be, you know, if they go over to Europe. I mean, you got a 6:30 start out there in California.
Then nobody's watching that game.
No. So it's not going to be like every team's got to do it. Okay, it'll be, you know, Giants versus Jacksonville will be one of them out there.
So, but
Mexico will be different. So, time zone.
But that's, I know, but it just shows like, so as much money as football brings in, okay, with advertising, commercials, and everything and marketing, you're basically just burning a game down.
No, you're not.
Especially West Coast.
You're adding a game.
in our country.
Okay, but you're adding. Okay, so is that that's the difference, right?
You're right.
You needed to add one.
It's streaming. It's going to go to the entire world, and it's going to be on, as Lou said, 9:30 on a Sunday morning. So you're adding another window for NFL football that did not exist. Now, does anybody believe in any one of these games? You're going to have the matchup of, let's say, you just said Green Bay and Kansas City. No. That's going to be reserved for Sunday night or reserved for, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There's no way they're going to play that internationally.
I would agree with that.
My guess is you're going to play the crap team. So if you're a good team and you've got to be there once in 8 years.
This is all true.
If you're Kansas City, you're going to be playing a bad team over there.
So,
right?
So
a bad
team. So the NFL, they wanted to make sure they included, retains the right to schedule games in Canada, Mexico, UK, Europe, and South America. And the reason for including South America is they want to play games in Brazil. Wouldn't it be perfect? Isn't that where Giselle is from?
Yeah.
Is she from Brazil?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Tampa Bay will be there.
There you go. Tampa Bay, last game.
They all love Brady.
They do. And at Rio or whatever that's.
Oh, that Carnival.
Yeah,
where
Carnival.
He was dancing.
There. That's
that?
It. Yeah. I can just see that somehow being Italian.
17 games. All right, the Patriots will get 10 wins now then.
At least 10. 10 wins. Here's the thing. 10 wins doesn't mean the same thing it used to. I mean.
Not now.
It's just one off. You just add one
Bill
and
likes
carry
this.
The two.
That much
and
closer
then...
to Shula.
That's true.
Well, of course, then they'll come back and say,
that's a good point.
Well, Shula did it with 14 games.
Yep.
So here's the big.
Bill
is
17.
The big story today. The commissioner also said that he expects full stadiums for every single team.
Why wouldn't they?
This is going to be a
by
challenge.
By September?
Wait, where?
Come on, let's go, Viking fans.
Full.
Here?
Full.
By September? Yeah, it should be.
Yes.
Absolutely
I
should be.
Do not believe it.
Maybe not Massachusetts, but
LA,
every other team.
So the Rams and the Chargers, that's a big no.
So we're at 12%. We're at 12% right now. And how many more months do we have? April, May, June, July.
I have a hard time believing.
6 months from now, we'll be up to 18%.
I mean, that's I don't know, Glenn, about that. Like, I would say 46% by September.
Yeah,
I mean,
why wouldn't they just say 50? You're 46. Right. They'll say something like 46%.
52%.
There'll be two states. Okay, that will not be at full capacity. California with their three teams, the 49ers, the Rams and the Chargers. And the Rams and the Chargers obviously both being in LA County. Good luck with that. California is screwed, okay? We'll talk about them in 6 months. And your very own New England Patriots. I have a hard time believing that New England is going to be able to have full capacity.
They will.
Full.
By September?
But yes. By September, and I even think, even if they can have full capacity, Lou, I think on purpose, they'll still say 60%. Look, we're thinking about lives.
If everybody's vaccinated by June, July 4th, what are you doing?
Well, what are they doing right now?
Well, not everyone's vaccinated.
Oh, I think you're going to still
I think
see
Optics
a fear.
Man
you're going to see
still
a fear out there.
Breathing,
absolutely.
And there'll be no
still
excuse.
Going to somehow find a way to shame you. Someone's going to cry about this and
Lou,
that.
Lou, you had the CDC director yesterday crying. At a press briefing and basically saying that we're not out of the woods and we can't do anything right now and we have to back off. You're seeing some numbers going up. By the way, the numbers are going down in some other states as well. We'll get to that later. I'm laughing because I'm reading some of the NFL draft scouts. This is Matt Miller. Just had a scout text me from the Ohio State Pro Day.
Okay, well, hold on. Don't say yet. I haven't seen it. Let me see. Trevor Lawrence. It's all Justin Fields.
Quote, this was the best quarterback workout I've seen in a while. Talking about Justin Fields.
Jesus. He's the man.
They fall in
Glenn,
love
you got
with
the
these
scouts out, don't you?
I do. They fall in love with these Pro Days. But unfortunately, Bill missed it. He's down in Alabama.
Wait. Where was Patricia?
Oh,
because
that's
he's
a good
the
question.
Brains now.
That's a good
he's,
question.
He's the brains.
Brains huh?
I mean, right. Granted, like, and again, Bill and Josh were both at Alabama. Like, is that what is that? Is that just we're both in the area?
That's telling you we have no interest in Justin.
No,
Fields.
You know, Josh McDaniels is there because Bill is showing him a whole new world.
So is it?
Ooh,
is it
maybe
the wide
years
receivers?
Later, right.
Is it wide receiver at 15?
Hmm.
Because they got those two guys.
Could be some linebacker or some big old lineman.
Najee Harris, round two.
Ooh, running back. Yeah, there we go. Jesus. Who, by the way, is not going to run the 40 today. He refused to run the 40 today. today.
Surprised Bill wasn't at, was it East Tennessee State like last year? Was that what it was? East 2 years ago?
Middle, I think he was doing somebody
else. Middle Tennessee. Did that kid ever get drafted or play in the league?
No, he was doing
like one kid that was there, right?
I think he was doing somebody a favor.
Couldn't have drafted him in the fifth round rather than wasting that pick on a freaking kicker?
He was already there in Nashville, remember? He was there. He
spent Glenn knows.
Well, he spends time in Nashville. He does, I can tell you that.
But I was there.
I was not there.
We went honky-tonking. I was line dancing.
They're opening them all up.
That prospect, by the way, an undrafted free agent on the Dolphins practice squad right now.
Oh, that's good.
There you go. He's got a shot.
He was there doing the work for B-Flow.
Yeah,
he was. B-Flow, we're not going to get this kid, but you should.
B-Flow's homework.
B-Flow. Yeah.
This hour of OMF brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. And remember, radio.com is now, what is it, Christian?
Oh, man.
Odyssey.
The Audacity.
No.
Odyssey.
A-U-D.
You know A-C-Y. What?
Stop pop quizzing me.
Audio home for all the music, news, sports, and podcasts that matter to you. We got more coming your way next.